WDE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Supreme Court will decide whether former President Trump can be disqualified from running for office again. CBS's Jan Crawford says the justices have agreed to take on Trump's appeal of a Colorado case.
Arguments on February 8th, and I'd expect a decision by the end of next month. And in the meantime, Donald Trump can stay on the ballot. Now, this is the case from Colorado, where the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Trump committed insurrection on January 6th, and so therefore he's ineligible for office under Section 3 of the Constitution. 14th Amendment. Now, that provision was adopted after the Civil War, and it bars insurrectionists from holding federal office.
President Biden on the campaign trail offers his strongest rebuke yet against former President Trump, calling him a threat to America's democracy. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Kicking off the election year in battleground state Pennsylvania, President Biden directly attacked his once and potentially future foe.
America, as we begin this election year, we must be clear. Democracy is on the ballot. Your freedom is on the ballot.
The president rarely invokes Trump so directly.
A weekend mess of snow, ice, and rain heads toward the East Coast, then north. CBS's Errol Barnett with more.
The first major snowstorm of the season marches east after packing a punch in the South and Midwest. Heavy snow blanketed roads in Winslow, Arkansas, Thursday. Several tractor trailers were involved in an accident, one even appearing to jackknife. In nearby Kansas, the snow and ice made driving there a challenge as well. At Wichita's airport, near whiteout conditions as crews work to clear the runways.
We're learning more about yesterday's shooting at Perry High School in Iowa that left one dead and five injured. Police say the school's principal was critically injured because he was trying to protect students from the teenage gunman, who later took his own life. Just days before his civil corruption trial is to start in New York, the head of the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPierre, announces he is stepping down. LaPierre and several NRA executives are accused of illegally diverting tens of millions of dollars from the NRA to pay for personal travel, among other things. CBS's Jeff Pegues.
Wayne LaPierre resigned after 30 years as the head of the NRA, where he has been a fierce critic of those who would restrict access to guns.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
The organization cited health reasons, but in a statement, LaPierre was as defiant as ever, saying that he's been a card-carrying member of the NRA most of my adult life.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're going to need me.
You're going to.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with ReFlow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win in San Antonio. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was close, but the Bucks pulled off a 125-121 win over the Spurs. Giannis on facing Victor Wembanyama for the first time.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable talent. Can score at will anytime he wants. Plays the right way. Plays to win. It was great playing against him.
Spurs head coach Greg Popovich on how the game ended.
What I wanted was a different call on the last play where Giannis got a three-point play.
But sometimes the calls go for you, sometimes they go against you, and you got to live with it.
College hoops, number 21 ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow, 1:15 at the Kohl Center. NFL, if tight end Luke Musgrave plays this Sunday against the Bears, will he be concerned about a hit to his back where he suffered that lacerated kidney?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you can think too deeply on it, because that's just going to slow you down.
That's Packers rookie tight end Luke Musgrave with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. More clouds around for tomorrow, again, flurries and snow showers possible, high in the mid-30s. Snow wraps up tomorrow night, partly sunny and upper 20s Sunday. Another chance for snow returns to the area by Monday. Current temp is 30.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news, stories, and events with Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Well, you know, I'm on day 5 of my COVID experience, my first COVID experience, and I'm quarantined here at home, and I'm a little loopy right now and a little intimidated today, because today we have a special show with one of my all-time favorite artists, and this person has been in over 100 movies and television shows, some of our personal favorites being Powwow Highway, Smoke Signals, Dead Man with Johnny Depp, and The Score, recently on Rutherford Falls, a TV show, playing our favorite Uncle Brownie and the highly acclaimed FX series Reservation Dogs. Gary is a recording artist and a musician with the band Gary and the Troublemakers, a documentary artist, water protector, and cannabis advocate. We want to give a big welcome to Gary Farmer, our big friend here, and we get to spend a whole hour with Gary. Pini Gigi, Gary, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, Ganos, where are you going? I got some high hands, Wes. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you. Hello, Minnesota.
And Wisconsin. We have to mention Wisconsin, too. We're on 20 stations in Wisconsin, so we do have to mention them during football season, too. So it's pretty hard for us here in Minnesota. But thank you, Gary, so much for being on. We're going to be playing some different songs from Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers for our bumper music out, and we're really excited, and we're going to play Make a Change playing out. And I don't know, before we get going too far, do you want to have any comments on that song before we get into the big interview here?
It's kind of just like it sounds. I was always looking to make things better for Indigenous people and people in general. And I knew that changes had to be made. One of the strongest things, I had a discussion last night with some friends, and I tried to help them understand that you know, socialism isn't like communism or, mm-hmm. and indeed, both of those kind of came from the, you know, in terms of the Haudenosaunee or my people, the Iroquois Confederacy, you know, both Das Kapito and the American Constitution took parts from our, you know, Tree of Peace and our original confederation that created peace between our first five nations. So I think there's so much to learn. It's a couple of young countries, you know, both Canada and the U.S. They're just a couple hundred years old, and they've both been built on economic, you know, unsustainability. Mm-hmm. And so that it was just a comment on that whole situation and trying to get the people to join in. And the more you can get people to sing and dance about making a change, and if it doesn't happen, then it makes you feel that, well, we should continue to sing and continue to dance our way out, as it were.
Wow, good words. Hey, we want to kind of get to know a little bit about you, and one of the things I'd love to ask you is, you know, you have a long career. You first started acting in professionally in 1976. What got you the bug to be actor, storyteller? How did that process start with you? Do you remember? Did you have an aha moment, or was it a process that you just put one foot in front of the other and took some opportunity? Did you feel like you always wanted to be an actor?
No, I don't think so. It was kind of forced, but luckily. But, you know, where it all started, I think, was, you know, my interest as a child. You know, I grew up in kind of a gang-like situation in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, with a lot of other Haudenosaunee at the time. It was kind of our territories, you know, even though our Confederacy split in half during the War of 1812. You know, the migrations for work were constant with our skill as, you know, iron worker. My father was a crane operator and stuff. And, you know, I could see the path in front of me. I mean, I probably could have been a football player, but I didn't like the violence of the game much. And so in my senior year of high school, I picked up photography as a means to kind of dispel their interest for me to play football. And I pacified their interest by taking their picture as football players for the team. And that was an interesting way to kind of maneuver. And, you know, when you're in a kind of a gang life, at least in Buffalo, everyone kind of became police officers. And I thought, well, I'd start off, you know, going from the illegitimate gang to the legitimate gang is a college choice. But then Attica happened, and I saw, he's a young student, it was very hard to change what's going on within the manufacturing of police departments and the management. And I really saw the corruption, like an open sore. And so I ended up maneuvering my way into Syracuse University for a year and studied only film and arts-related stuff. But I kind of fibbed my way in because, being a Canadian Indian, I had to study something that I couldn't get in States. And so I told them I wanted to be an FBI agent. And, of course, this is like 1973 when, you know, the FBI and that whole Wounded Knee all rekindled again. And so it was kind of an ironic position to be as a youngster. But, you know, it was all pretty unknown to me, the political politics of the day for Native America as a young kind of urban student. Mm-hmm. And I really caught up quick. It was an interesting university. Anyway, I ended up going back to Canada and pursued filmmaking and photography for a couple of years in a what's now called the Metro, Toronto Metro University. It used to be called Ryerson, but he's the guy who started the residential school system in Canada. They changed the name, but it was an interesting journey. And while I was there in Canada, there was this man, a Cree man, who was from Saskatchewan. He was an opera singer and played in opera, and he, you know, started this organization called the Association for Native Development and the Performing Visual Arts. And me being a photographer, he employed me to take pictures of these events. And that's where I met Thompson Highway and Renee Highway those days. And they became everlasting friends. He was a modern dancer. At the time, Thompson was a Northern Cree composer and pianist, and later became an amazing playwright together, having worked with him for a number of years. But Jim had this theater school, and he took a bunch of Anishinaabe children, kids, really 13, 14 years old, to this camp. And he employed this really fancy British theater. He was well-trained in England, and he came up there with those Anishinaabe kids, and it wasn't working out. And I guess Jim thought maybe I was a little more worldly, so he sent me up there to kind of mother goose these kids through this period of their life. 4 or 5 weeks it was at the time. And I fell in love with the creative theatrical process of telling stories. And I always wanted to help, you know. As a child, I knew things were a little not right, growing up in an indigenous family in the inner city. And there was a social network amongst the indigenous people there in town, but I knew things weren't good. And as a youngster, and I wanted to help. And when I discovered the theater, I realized this is how I can help. And that was in 1975. So.
Wow. Hey, we are here with Gary Farmer, and we're going to listen to a little Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers and come right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Gotta move it, shake it, you gotta turn it all around. It's time to boogie, time to boogie all night long. You gotta make a change.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence, and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
You gotta make the change. You gotta make the change. You know it's time. You gotta work together. You gotta make the change. You gotta make the change. You gotta work together. Everyone is one. You know, you gotta reach out to your neighbor down the south. We gotta make a balance all around. You know, one person the same as the next. Hey, no matter how much money you got, you gotta make the change.
Musician, activist, storyteller, Gary Farmer. That was one of his groovy songs, Make the Change, and I love the blues, and you gotta be sad to have sing the blues, right, Gary?
Not necessarily, I mean.
I'm just kidding. Hey, welcome back. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your acting career right now, and I think it's really kind of fun that young people, and especially young people in our community here, are getting turned on to Gary Farmer in 2023. You know, you were on Res Dogs as Uncle Brownie, and speaking of Res Dogs, Reservation Dogs, how cool is it to see the younger generation pick up the baton now and really do a lot of creative stuff in the movie and media genre?
Well, I always knew it was going to happen. You know, we got two strongest stories, first of all. You know our history, relationship with the Canadians and the Americans. That history, and phenomenal history amongst the black community when slavery was first brought to this country. I mean, that story has never been told in terms of our relationship and how that came to be, you know, and, you know, so it was inevitable, especially with someone like James, like I spoke of the last chapter was, you know, we started training our young right from the start in terms of expressing himself artistically. Mm-hmm. I wasn't only an actor, I also published. When I saw that our stories were going out to non-native producers and they were getting all the credit for those stories when they were our stories, so the effort began early in my career to start bringing things back home, you know. And you know, I started going after radio signals across the whole country. At one point I had 70% of Canada by radio through the, you know, 9 major urban center, and you know, I started working with the CRTC and eventually got the Aboriginal People's Television Network on air with my ability to kind of negotiate with the commission to license Native America for our kind of different story we got. We're looking at the world with totally different eyes, and it felt like we needed to be heard more than ever. So it was a natural progression over the course of my 49 years in this business.
Yeah, it's also great to see and working with, and I personally like being an older person. I'm a baby elder in my tribe. We I like the homage that they did with you guys in Reservation Dogs, where they had you, Graham Greene, Wes Studi, Richard Whitman, and involved in that. You know, modern tale. And I think it's really important to, if you are moving forward, to also give homage to the past, too. And I think that's what they did really well in that show.
Well, it's the way it is in a community, right? The show's all about the community and the love the community has for our elders and the aunties and uncles.
Oops.
I'm not sure. We might have lost Gary's issues. Audio.
So a lot of our communities are dealing with on a day-to-day. Everything okay?
Yeah, we lost you for a second, but you're back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was just a natural thing. And that was the whole sense of Reservation Dogs, was the community, you know, to create a community. And for the most part, the acting community, the performance community, the writing community, you know, it's not very big. It's growing much larger now. Mm-hmm. But in the day, it was a fairly small, quaint community. And we all knew each other. We all worked with each other. You know, there was a very little infighting, so to speak. It was very, you know, I think, envisioned image to make all that happen. And it just paid out beautifully in Reservation Dogs. And the accolades have been unlike anything I've ever seen as a performer in the business as long as I have been.
Yeah, and it was so fun. I did not know what to expect, but having you being the uncle and the kids finding you, and and it was just fun, and had a big smile in the community, the Native community, to have you show up like that. That was awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've always been a participant of, you know, most of my life as well was spent in the theater. You know, you mm-hmm. develop a new writer's work. You never know where that's going to lead that writer or the theater company that produced it. You know, that they, and you know, I did that for years before I became a television and film actor. And that's really the training ground.
Yeah, well, you know, you support natives and native businesses. It sounds like, you know, with purchasing these radio stations over the years, I remember hearing that story. And also your support of cannabis, too. I think that's something that kind of parlayed off your character, but also in real life, too.
Well, radio stations isn't something we purchased. I went at it totally a nonprofit model. It wasn't about ownership or privatization of radio. I was trying to create a collective concept where I was even ambitious to, so that the signal could run off the sun nationally. And that's very possible, but you know, FM radio doesn't need as much electricity as AM and such. So it was a dream to kind of unify the 600 nations of Canada so that we could feed news and information to the country that would help socialize them to their own history.
Yeah.
As much of that history was denied by educators the last century or so. And so I was really just trying to show the value of Native people and the Native language, because when you start to think of the languages, it's the true study of nature based on observation of time over centuries of time. And that knowledge is intrinsic to human survival on the planet. So it was a big vision, and it had nothing to do with about commercialization.
Awesome. Thanks for straightening me out there, even though we're on a commercial stations right now. But I feel...
You know, in Canada, the interesting thing is all commercial stations give a portion of their budget, somewhere between 2 and 4% of their annual budget, to public good. In Canada, I got that public good to qualify as Aboriginal or Native American news and information and music, because they knew little about us. So I was using that, you know, attracting private broadcasters to help a public system grow and mature.
Wow, that's awesome, and
it's a good idea for the FCC. They're kind of behind in that. In fact, you know, Reagan sold out much of radio back in his tenure,
right,
to privatization, and it, you know, it really took a hurting on radio in the U.S.
Especially, oh, totally. We're blessed to be on this AM station here in the Twin Cities, Progressive Voice, but. You know, after deregulating, we have 9 people owning 90% of the media now here in the United States, and that's something we're fighting with, but and fighting back for. You know, we're here with Gary Farmer, and we got a little more Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
As we age,
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. On February 8th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on former President Trump's appeal of the Colorado decision to kick him off of the ballot. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
We need to have clarity on this question of whether or not the front runner for the Republican nomination is in fact qualified to be president of the United States or if he's legally barred.
President Biden on the campaign trail tells supporters that democracy must be protected from former President Trump.
The choice is clear. Donald Trump's campaign is about him, not America, not you.
The head of the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPierre, is stepping down, citing health reasons. Kelly Sampson with the Brady Center welcomes the resignation.
We know that no matter what happens with his resignation, it's important for Americans to continue to show up and speak out against the NRA's policy, against their worldview.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least, has been controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers won it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries and lows in the upper 20s. More clouds around for tomorrow, again, flurries and snow showers possible, high in the mid-30s. Snow wraps up tomorrow night, partly sunny and upper 20s Sunday. Another chance for snow returns to the area by Monday. Current temp is 30.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great sponsor and great partner all these years. They do great work all over Turtle Island. Hey, before we get too far into this, we're with actor, musician, activist, storyteller Gary Farmer, and we just played Fool for You. And I want to ask Gary, before I turn it over to our Gen Z producer here with a question, where can we get and listen to your music? What's the best way?
You know, that particular album with, you know, the beautiful painting of me playing the harmonica can be gotten anywhere on social platforms or wherever you buy your music. So it's available out there. So it's widely available that way. You know, I distribute it through CD Baby, and certainly their website works too.
Right on. Hey, so we got a question here from Haley, our producer, and Jen Zier. Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah, well, hey, Gary, I just want to say a big pinagigi. Thank you for joining us tonight on Native Roots Radio. I want to introduce myself again. My name's Haley Chashapewangawinik. I'm a descendant of Ho-Chunk Nation and the Winnebago Tribe in Nebraska. My name means Little Eagle Princess, and I'm Eagle Clan. There was a big movie that just came out recently, and I know you had worked with Robert De Niro in the past in The Score. I was wondering if you got a chance to see Killers of the Flower Moon yet. I know Lily Gladstone starred in that, and was just curious to see just your opinion on her performance in the movie, as well as Robert De Niro's in that one as well.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen the movie. You know, I'm not much for extremely popular cinema. I must look at about 400-500 independent features, because I've been working hard with Santa Fe International Film Festival for all these years since inception. And so spend a lot of time finding the best of the best out there and promoting that. And so often I don't get to, I did manage to see just a few minutes of Oppenheimer the other day, but I'm sure eventually I'll take a look. But Lily's a longtime friend and collaborator. In fact, we just promoting a film called Quantum Cowboy. It just got some distribution, probably primarily because Lily's stardom in Killers of the Flower Moon. So Robert, on the other hand, has been a lot of fun to work with in the past for me. He has a great sense of humor. He's got a lot of humility. And, you know, it's nice to hear him make that speech last night at the I didn't see the whole speech, but I'm glad that he's calling out what's been reality for us since my tenure in the business. You know, that we've had to face a lot of racism. You know, early in my career, there were no Native writers. There were no Native directors. And I had, as the actor, the sole responsibility to try and keep them, you know, somewhat understanding of who we were representing in the film. So it's wonderful, so much more comfort as an actor now to go to set and knowing that all your, you know, your relatives and all the creatives that come from the 600 communities in the U.S., you know, there's some things that are very common. And so it's been much easier, and it's just lovely to see Lily's rise to stardom and all those young people from Res Dogs. Now we get to watch their career for the next 50 years, you know, and what they can do with it and what stories they find of interest to tell as performers. So, yeah, it's a special time for sure.
It's interesting, too. We'll get back to what Robert De Niro said in a second, but it's interesting, too. I used to be a high school student before I started my other job, and Bobby Wilson was a student of mine, so you always have your handful with creative people, and Bobby's one of the most creative people I've met as a student in my 30 years of teaching.
Good. Yes, he's a lot of fun.
He is total fun. Haley, do you have Robert De Niro's quote at all? Because I know there was some controversy about that. If people are out there listening, not knowing what we're talking about, somebody took out part of his speech, and then he ad-libbed his speech about basically how Native Americans still fighting the John Wayne syndrome. And to my understanding, wasn't that correct, Haley?
Yeah, yep. So it was actually Monday, and this was at the Gotham Awards. Robert De Niro noticed that there was alleged editing and reads that were missing on his portion of the speech on the teleprompter. So what he actually did was took out his phone and read the remainder of his speech that they took out. And he said he was going to do it anyways. And it included, you know, just statements noting that the industry isn't immune to racism. And, you know, he specifically called out former actor John Wayne's statements about indigenous tribes and their selfish attitudes about keeping their lands as an example, just kind of these attitudes. And Robert De Niro has stated, I'm going to say these things, but to Apple, who produced Killers of the Flower Moon, but to Apple and thank them and all of that, Gotham's blah, 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 De Niro said, but I don't feel like thanking them at all after what they just did. How dare they do that, actually? So I very much thank you for bringing up that point, Gary, because we were looking into that story as well.
Well, there's an uncomfortable. I feel like, I don't know if anyone's ever watched Saturday Night Live when one of the actors was interviewing Paul McCartney, and that's the way I feel right now. It's so intimidated, Gary. Thank you so much for being on. It's just I'd really like you to take the show over here and talk about what you'd like to talk about. And I think you are such an interesting person, not only your past, but what you're doing right now. I think the music, I saw you up in Duluth jamming with a whole bunch of artists a couple of years ago. I've seen you be master of ceremonies at the Minnesota Native Chamber of Commerce. All those things, and you're still working, and you're still doing it, and you're still active, and you still have an opinion. So, I'd love to hear what you're thinking about right now.
Well, I tried to get on the new Native Theater website. It seems to be down, which is a theater company that exists in Minneapolis. Yeah. And I worked with them over a couple of workshop sessions during the COVID period. It was a play that was to play for them over the last couple Christmases. It's called A Christmas in Onchoppy, and it's playing now at the New Native Theater, or shortly through the holiday season. It was written by a fellow named Montana Cypress, who's a Miccosukee from, Central Florida. They're kind of the Everglades people, and he's a really interesting writer. He's kind of hung out in Los Angeles trying to make a go of it in Hollywood as a filmmaker, as a writer, and as an actor. And, I'm ironically sitting here on my way to Los Angeles to do his micro low-budget short film shooting in Los Angeles next week called An Ode to Leviticus, which is probably about a 15-minute film with Tantu Cardinal, who was also in Killers of the Flower Moon. So just a little irony, a little plug for the play happening in Minneapolis this over the holiday season, and my effort to help this young filmmaker realize a good film. So, the other interesting thing is this series with Chaske Spencer. He's a Assiniboine, from Montana there, and he's been a longtime actor based out of New York City. I worked with him in Emily Blunt in this series called The English. We shot it in Spain with a Spanish crew, and it was a BBC production. But if you get a chance to watch this 6-part series, I think it's a great kind of historical overview of the settling of America from more of a Native perspective than you usually get. And I did mention Quantum Cowboys. It's now in theaters and streaming. Just search it again, featuring Lily Gladstone and Kiowa Gordon and this fun artist that's been in my band from time to time, Hal Gell, who also co-wrote that film. So, I've been pushing around a short film called Vertebrae, by a dear friend named Travis Schilling. He's an Ojibwe painter, playwright, and director. He's born in Rama, Ontario, and son of a famous artist named Arthur Schilling. And Travis has been exhibiting art since the age of 21 in Canada, in Europe, and the U.S. And his work always is profound. And if there's any young film festivals out there that would like us to submit this, Vertebrae to you, we'd be happy to. And so it's an exciting time for me. you know, it's nice to win the Best Americana Album at the 223 New Mexico Music Awards. Sing that song reached number 5 on the top Indigenous music countdown in Canada. So it's been a great year for me, and I'm just really grateful for you guys having me on the show.
Well, we'll probably let you go because we really appreciate your time. And one thing I wanted to just tell you, truth be told, my daughter, Mahinu, my first daughter, is in that play in New Native Theater. She's an actor, and she's playing, if you know the play, she's playing the white girlfriend. So she's So, Gary, I just want to say thank you so, so much for being on. I really, really appreciate you spending time with us, and I know our audiences just love this. I hope to get you on again when things slow down for you a little bit again, but thank you so much, and let's listen to this music the rest of the way on this second-to-last segment. Thank you so much, Gary Farmer.
Or drive a car right off a mountain cliff. That's how tough she is. Oh my God, my friend, you better watch it.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The AM 950 2024 calendar is here, and we have a brand new thank you you're going to love. A meet and greet with me, Matt McNeil, and other hosts from AM 950. Become a sustaining member of AM 950 with a recurring monthly payment of $50 or more, or make a one-time membership donation of $250 or more, and not only will you receive the AM 950 calendar and the AM 950 tote bag as a thank you, but you'll also be invited to an exclusive thank you, the meet and greet. For more details or to sign up to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
To sleep at night.
She's the toughest girl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
Wow. That was intense for me, Haley. We were chatting amongst ourselves via text with the mothership, and great job at the mothership bringing in the music and out. It was perfect, and felt like I was walking on glass. But hey, totally prepared for this, and Gary was awesome, and I thought it was a good time to let him go because he really had a lot of great things to say and things to chew on.
Yeah, he definitely did. That was such a fun time, and really, we appreciate all that Gary has done and the representation that he's created in the community for us in film and in music and all of the art. So, big pinagigi to Gary.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we don't want to put a damper on this, but we do want to kind of bring this up, Haley, is some local news that's just breaking right now. I think, if you don't mind, if you could pull up and talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get back into the positive show we had in the music.
Yeah, well, I just was getting an email through. I don't know if this was recently. I know this was today. I'm not sure which encampment this was, but I'm sure it was one of the ones in Minneapolis here. Yeah. There was a shooting inside the camp. The police officers, I'm not sure this email, they are looking for a missing person. But for now, to keep doors enclosed and keeping everyone safe. So if you are in an area downtown in the Twin Cities, specifically Minneapolis, and you have relatives in an encampment, just maybe check in on those people and make sure that they're doing okay.
Yeah, definitely. Always be aware of what your surroundings and things like that. So I appreciate that update, and maybe some more will come in, and maybe one of our listeners will send us a text or something. You know, one of the things, I just love the speech that Gary did in Smoke Signals when he was talking about him and Victor playing basketball with the priest, the Jesuit priest. So, and it's cool, you know, and you have to really walk softly. It'd be like, you know, he's still doing things. He's still active. And you don't want to start talking about stuff that he did 40 years ago or 25 years ago. But it's still hard not to, because I was such a big fan still after all these years of the movie Smoke Signals.
Right. Well, yeah, the specific scene I think you're talking about, too, that one was called, now I just lost it. Anyway, so it's the 25th year of Smoke Signals, actually, because it was released in 1998. That scene specifically, you got to have faith. Mm-hmm. And that was Gary's moving monologue during that basketball scene outside. And that was where he was talking about Victor and Arnold, the character that he played. Arnold and his son Victor played, I believe it was 2-on-2 with the priests at that. Yeah. At the school.
Right.
And, my favorite quote. That's such a great scene. And just every time I think about it, I got to watch it again and then cry all over again. But the scene, or the quote that he says, he goes, "My boy, he was tough, man. He flew right over those Jesuit like he was some indigenous angel or something. My boy, Victor, he was the man that day. He took that shot and he won the game. It was the Indians versus the Christians that day. And for at least one day, the Indians won."
Yeah.
And then he throws the basketball, and it's all emotional, and he's out there at night on the court by himself. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, he's telling the story to the woman actor. I can't think of her name. Susie Smoke is the character's name. But she's been in a lot of stuff over the years, and still. There's a show coming out called Hey Victor, and that Gary was in, and I didn't ask him about that, but it's about the person who played the young Victor doing a documentary and a sequel to Smoke Signals called Hey Victor, and the whole, it's a spoof, and it's a documentary on the making of the next the sequel to Smoke Signals. And if you look up the information, it's got everybody in there. And it's really funny, and because I don't know, every time I watch that movie, I I think of, I wonder where those kids are. Or do they keep acting? And you'll find out now, the ones that played the young Victor and Thomas in Smoke Signals.
Oh, they're going to have the original cast, everyone?
Yeah. It's a mockumentary, I think. And they've already shot it. It's just, I don't think it's coming out until 2024.
Oh, that's too long.
That's funny. It's not that long. It's a month away.
Isn't that scary? A month away from 2024?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going by for me fast. I tell you, I'm 62, so I got like 15 more winters left and 14 more summers. So I got to like really pay attention to what's happening here and give everything away. So I have a lot of things I got to start giving away.
Give it to me. Give it to your Chuzhong.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll start with a couple T-shirts and then we'll go from there, Haley.
Oh, okay. I see it. I see how that works.
Well, those are my prized possessions.
That's true. You're very protective of your T-shirts.
And my potato chips, but that's a whole different show and different story that we won't get into. But yeah. So I think what we need to do is reach out to Bobby Wilson and a couple other people now that the strike's over. I didn't mention that to Gary. Could have mentioned that, but it's, now we can reach out to our actor friends in the Native community and have them come in and promote what they're doing and talk about what they're doing and what they're up to. So it's an exciting time again, and we wanted to be really conscious of that and not walk over any boundaries, because we know when we talk to it's cool that he brought up New Native Theater too, but when we talked to the founder of New Native Theater, she couldn't really talk about Dark Winds, which she wrote the first segment or the
right.
Of the season, or the first episode, I should say. Hey, Haley, great work, AM 950 producer Brett, and we pulled it off. We did a great show with Gary, and nobody got mad at us, so that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground, it's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
And maybe we can play some Gary now, and I'll pod this down.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This year, every plate is serving up their most sizzling deal yet. $1 steak every single week. Not only can you dig into 10 ounces of delicious steak for just a dollar, but you can enjoy every plate's other tasty meals for just $1.49 each. Whether you're resolving to save money or just want to enjoy every bite in 2024, America's Best Value Meal Kit has you covered. Get started with $1 steak every week and meals for $1.49 each with code DCS49 at everyplate.com. Everyplate.com.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. Supreme Court agrees to hear arguments next month on former President Trump's appeal of his Colorado ballot disqualification. The Colorado Supreme Court ruled Trump could not be on that ballot, citing the Constitution's insurrection clause. CBS News election law contributor David Becker has more.
I think everyone expected the court to take this case, but it is, I think, a positive development that they moved so quickly after the petition was filed, and they set oral argument as quickly as they did. Oral argument's going to be held just over a month from now on February 8th, indicating to me that the court understands the urgency here and wants to render a ruling and clarify.